Network, proudly presents The Jays Play Show, with your host, CyberGolf.com's own Jay Clemmer, and co-starring a galaxy of the golf and sports world's greatest names as special guests. Yo, 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 this is your main man, DJ Q, telling you to put your hands together for your friend and mine, Jay Clemmer.
All right, everybody, so good to be back. It's Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network. I am Jay Flemmer. It's really, really fun to be doing this post-PGA Tour season version of the Jay's Plays show for you. As usual, we have our wonderful cast of off-key characters. Some old friends are going to join us today. Jeff Brower is going to come on in from the Central Time Zone and talk to us a little bit about the Western Conference of the NHL after we talk a little bit of golf. And then after that, the Eastern Conference is going to be previewed by our boy Bruce Moulton, and he also is going to talk about the tour, talk about travel, talk about other, you know, sundry topics. There's been a lot happening in the last couple of months since we last talked. Jay's Plays is brought to you by Spring 44 Vodka. It's the fresh, crisp, delicious spring water from Colorado that makes all the difference. Spring 44, spring for some today. And by Swifties, all-American restaurants all across I-90 and I-87. All right, everybody, so we're back, and it's been a fantastic PGA Tour season. Those of you that are wondering, I'll come out right now and tell you, I'm going to cast my vote for Player of the Year for Jordan Spieth. So I know that it got a little bit tight at the end there, and that Jason Day made things interesting, but I am of the opinion that the entire year, from start to finish, you know, Spieth was the biggest and best story, and he didn't have to look like the Incredible Hulk to do it. You know, Jason was phenomenal, but he was all 425-yard drives, you know, and reaching par fives with a driver and a wedge. Jordan dissected the golf courses intelligently. So it was a marvelous year for both of them, but Jordan from start to finish for me. But let's ask our first guest what his thoughts were. He's back. He's one of the great golf course architects in the United States and also an expert in hockey analysis as well. Please welcome our old pal, Jeff Brower. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Jay, always a pleasure to be here. Some of my favorite subjects you talk about.
What's been happening in your life?
Well, just kind of plugging along. I was fortunate, you know, to be up our project in Minnesota yesterday, and it's so beautiful up there in the shores of Lake Superior, and I happened to hit the peak of fall color, and I'm wondering how it is I get paid to go up to a beautiful place like that. So,
yeah, tell us, where were you exactly?
We are remodeling Superior National Golf Course. That's in Lutzen, Minnesota. And it's a 27-hole course, and we're doing 9 holes a year. And we just opened the front 9, and we're just starting the construction on the back 9 for this year.
Excellent. And then what about this weekend? Are you off to anywhere far flung, or are you going to stay around Central Texas?
Oh, I'll be home. I'm got a wife who's just had bunion surgery, so I'm in the nanny mode, taking care of her, trying to give her a little TLC. But actually, Sunday I've got to run back. I mean, they've got like dozen crew members up there working hard to beat the snow, and I'm programmed to be back up in Minnesota every week. And I have a couple other projects up there too. So.
Sure, you've got a couple of terrific public courses at Giants Ridge.
Yeah, well, I got a couple new ones, too, but, yeah.
All right, well, tell us all about those as well, but before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about your choice for Player of the Year, okay? Sum up the year in golf as you saw it, and then who do you think is going to take home the top prize?
Yeah, well, I can't help but be biased. You know, as a Dallas area guy, and my son actually got into one high school tournament with Jordan, and my son was a senior, Jordan was a freshman, and Jordan beat everybody like a drum. But we've kind of watched him, grow up as a golfer, you know, playing in the junior tournaments and whatever. So obviously, right or wrong, you know, I'm biased. But you win 2 majors, and even though Jason Day had that great run, it's hard to think. You know, everyone says it's all about the majors, and it's 2-1, 2-1 Jordan. So I'll cast my vote with you and go with Jordan Spieth.
And, you know, Jordan came through at the end winning the Tour Championship and snatching the $10 million away. It was an excellent run. at the end by Jason Day. What are some of your other favorite subplots of the year in golf on the PGA Tour season?
Yeah, but I was focused mostly on feet and, you know, just hanging on to the past, maybe. You know, Tiger's back surgery a few weeks ago, got a little talk going, and, you know, his old buddy, Nate Begay, with whom I have designed a golf course and know well, you know, actually being fairly honest with Noda, saying he crossed his mind that his career is over, which has to be really hard for a top athlete like that. So,
well,
the other side is, though, I mean, you know, if you go back to the current, it's just the fact that we have, you know, four or five really likable guys, you're competing. And, you know, we got four in the old days, you get the big three with, like, Palmer, Player, and Nicklaus. And, you know, with Jay, if you take Jason Day in there, it's the fourth with Rory and, you know, a couple others. Seems like a good time for golf. And hopefully these youngsters will get that participation tick to go back upwards.
Well, we throw these monikers around like there has to be one, you know. But the thing is that Rory was right that we shouldn't be doing that because it's so much in flux. There's so much fluidity and chaos to it. You know, somebody will get hot for, I would say, 18 months to 2 years. Rory said 6 months, he thought. He said dynasties last 6 months when we were at the PGA Championship. And I think he just underestimates it a bit. I understand what he was saying. You know, and the idea he is saying is correct, that, you know, dynasties aren't Tiger Woods. He was a once-in-a-generation thing. But I also want to underline what I just said about Tiger, a once-in-a-generation thing. Okay, you know, in all the rush for everyone to proclaim this is the greatest thing we've ever seen, you know, and this is history and blah, 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 we don't do a good job of putting things in historical perspective in terms of the fact that it is cyclical. There will always be another. There'll never be another Babe Ruth. Well, yes, there will. There will be a Ted Williams, or there will be a Hank Aaron, or there will be, you know, the next great player. Are we ever going to see George Mikan again? Why, sure, we're going to see him in Lou Alcindor. And on, the wheel turns, the names are different. But it seems as though the Tiger Woods era is over. And everyone finally agrees on that. I think, you know, 4 or 5 years too late. You know, I can't say that it absolutely ended at the scandal, but that was the, you know, for the final bell. That was the last straw. You know, that was what ultimately became his ultimate undoing. So do you think that we are ever going to see Tiger Woods win another major?
I think he's probably done. And actually, you talk about the prognostications. There were guys back then who just that basically his violent swing would, you know, prematurely end his career. And with all the back surgeries, maybe those guys, we've got to give them a little bit of credit. Probably the most interesting thing is reading, you know, the analysis, you know, to get to the top and boost them up, you know, meaning Jordan Spieth, and then immediately start knocking them down. But, you know, there's some talk there that, you know, his strengths are the sorts of things that sort of go early.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what it was Noda said and the impressions, you know, that you noticed on Noda as he was saying those things?
Yeah, about Tiger, you mean?
Yes.
About Jordan, yeah. Well, he just, it was a very short quote that he'd spoken with Tiger, and of course I know he does that regularly, and that Tiger basically admits his career is probably over. And sounded as if he left a little hope out there that if everything went right and he did all the right things, he could come back, but, you know, sounded pretty much like he thought he was admitting his body was sort of breaking apart, and, you know, no to nose, so.
You know, hearing those words still, you know, freezes your heart for a minute to believe that, you know, it finally possibly could be over this soon. You know, I expected Tiger to keep trying to break the record till he was 75 years old. You know, he's just one of those gritty, I'll never stop competitors. I know the type, you know. It's like so many guys telling him, you're done, you're washed up, you're finished. But then you think about that great scene in the movie Gladiator, where Quintus looks at Maximus when they're looking at the barbarians who are banging on their drums and yelling, and they just killed the messenger. And Quintus says, a people should know when they're conquered. And then, you know, you think that's the situation sometimes, and then all of a sudden Maximus looks back at him and says, would you, Quintus? Would I?
Right.
You know, and to hear now that Tiger actually thinks, you know, not only that he might not break Jack's record, but that his career is done, you know, with such finality, that would be shocking indeed. You know,
yeah.
But golf would go on, and golf would be fantastic still, because we've got a bunch of guys that can win a bunch of majors and are going to dominate for a long time. They're young, they're talented, they're good, they play well under pressure. You know, the torch is passed. The king is dead long with the king. I've said it for ages, but, you know, now that it might finally be true, you know, there's an awful finality to it, and it's kind of shocking. So, but, you know, we were there at a moment in history. You know, I saw Tiger shoot a 63 at a major championship.
Well, years ago, I actually played in the first Las Vegas Pro-Am, and, you know, funny thing about that was I played with Fuzzy Zeller. He shot a 63. I'm in his group, but I was so nervous about the whole thing, it didn't occur to me. I mean, I remember making a lot of birdies, but look up at the scoreboard on the 18th green and realize I'd just been in a group where the guy shot a 63 and somehow was unaware. So, well, of course, there's two other comments here. I want to get on to one other comment about golf that I really don't understand. But, you know, for all the talk about him being longer and all this, I mean, the 63 is still a pretty rare score. You know, dating, that was 1983 or something that Fuzzy shot that. I mean, the scores aren't dropping for all of the sky is falling sort of mentality that, you know, the balls are too long, the drivers are too long. So golf is, those scores have stayed pretty well the same.
Well, I'm very happy to say that from a business aspect, we've seen that golf is staging a remarkable comeback now, too. You know, it seems as though the recession's over and people are back out and playing a lot. You know, there's a ton of clubs I've seen that have grown in membership, that are thriving. I've seen a lot of happy golfers this summer. It's been a beautiful sight to see, you know, all over. One of the nice things about spending as much time north of New York City as I have been now is I got a chance to visit a bunch of old favorites, some of them that were public. You know, I got to see Conklin again. I got to see Enjoy, finally, for the first time. I got to see I Want the Landing once again, and Leatherstocking, and all of them have full tee sheets with absolutely, you know, just ecstatic golfers walking, playing, having a good time. So it seems as though the business has picked up. What's your experience been in that regard?
Yeah, some of the clubs that I've been working with and courses I've been working with, I do more in the public sector, but they've all reported, unless it's one of those areas been hit by weather, like, you know, Dallas, we had floods all through May and June. But outside that area, like up in Minnesota, they've reported a strong play, some of the strongest ever.
And how about in Central Texas?
Well, again, it started right about May 1, and it didn't stop till about June 15th, and whatever South Carolina's going through, we were near that, but it's not a week. It went a month. I mean, Cowboys went underwater out there the other day. Not the Cowboys. Cowboys Golf Club, just for those who are not familiar, that there is an NFL-themed golf course out there.
And a darn good one that's a ton of fun, okay, a really enjoyable, naturalistic golf course, okay, that is just exciting and interesting from shot to shot to shot all the way around. So with the exception, please tell me you got rid of that star in the middle of the fourth fairway.
Well, Jay, I wish I could, but
Well, the only good thing about it is I can go do that dance in the middle of it. Who was that 49er that danced in the middle of his Owens?
Terrell Owens, yeah. Of course, later on, he changed stripes a little bit.
And who was it that tackled him? And was it George... it was one of the linebackers knocked him on his rear end when he did it.
Yeah. Thanks, Sebastian.
Well, when we come back from break, we'll have that for you. So, now we're on the topic of football, okay? I am responsible for doing the NFL picks for Golf News Network, okay? My whole new column over there. And by the way, everybody, if you want to hear about Boston, I did two pieces on Boston. I'm going to be finishing up the Boston trip with the Foo Fighters concert review. So go to thegolfnewsnet.com. You'll be able to find that. But I went 5-2 last week. Okay, you never forget the ones that you lost on, of course, though. Okay, the stupid Bills and Giants couldn't go over 39 for me. And the Cardinals, okay, the freaking Cardinals, okay, couldn't win at home against the hapless Rams. The Rams scored 6 points on the Steelers. The Rams go into Arizona and just beat them. So I'm a little gun-shy about picking Arizona. I'm sorry, about picking Green Bay, because Green Bay is hosting St. Louis. They should blow them out. You know, but I'm giving 3 points away, and, you know, I don't know. I'm a little dicey. What do you think of that one?
Well, first of all, I'm sorry to hear you've gone to the dark side and they add football to your hockey repertoire, but...
and soccer, too. Okay, that's what people really get mad.
Yeah, we talked about golf, how things have never really changed, despite everyone thinking that, but what's the old adage in the NFL? Any given Sunday. It's, you know, it's actually good to see. I mean, I used to like college football because still you had a bunch of 18 to 22-year-old kids, and emotions seemed to play more of it, and I don't know what it is, but it seems to me like one of the improvements in the NFL is they're a little less businesslike and a little bit more emotional. Almost, you know, it seems like they are more like the college game. So, sometimes for negative reasons, like getting back at the NFL for Deflategate, but there's emotion nonetheless. I think that's good.
Well, you know, I was not a fan. I wanted to see Tom Brady burn in that. Okay, cheaters never prosper. Has to be the lesson. And, you know, just it was over-lawyering, in my opinion, by a judge, you know, that started. And we've had a lot of bad sports law decisions of late. Okay, the cases get decided in court almost always end up the wrong way. Roger Clemens should have gone to jail, as should have Barry Bonds. And yet, instead, Tom Brady walks free. You know, and what's the lesson that the kids get, you know? It's a terrible lesson. It's a lesson that cheaters prosper. Okay, thank goodness we don't have that in golf. And while we're on the topic, it wasn't cheating, but it might have been gamesmanship. Do you have an opinion on Suzanne Pedersen Gate from the Solheim Cup?
Yeah, I mean, like everybody else, it's pretty terrible. I mean, those whole things were set up by, you know, Mr. Ryder and, you know, Solheim, and it's a display of sportsmanship. And, yeah, you've always had a little bit of that. And I've watched in the Ryder Cup, Seve Ballesteros wait for the last possible second to concede a putt after making guys go through it. But I didn't have the impression on the women's side you'd ever see somebody do something quite that intentional. And maybe she didn't, but, you know, very unfortunate. I think the Ryder Cup ought to hold. I like golf to be old school. And all about,
I agree
all
as well, yes. I like my golf old school. I like my rock and roll old school as well. We're going to take a short break, everybody. We'll come back with Jeff's review of the Western Conference of the NHL and some other small talk as well. Hope you guys are having a great evening. We will be right back after this. You're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
That bump music means we're going to have to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back at the second half of the show in just a minute.
This is your main man, DJ Q, and you're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network.